what you originally thought.
Interview with State Representative Thomas Reed, RWD, Tuskegee, Alabama, July 11th, 1974.
I'd like for you really to just give a very brief summary of your own background and how you got involved in politics and what you're doing and so forth.
I don't know how much time you have. Here's something that you might want that might be what you...
Fine.
Yeah.
That'll take care of that.
Were you involved in politics before you got elected to the legislature?
Yes.
Okay.
I completed one term. I was recently re-elected.
Right. You defeated Gray, right?
Yes.
But had you run for political office locally before that?
Yes, I ran for mayor.
That was when?
That was some 8 years ago.
What do you think it's going to mean in the legislature next term from the standpoint of having 15 blacks in the legislature instead of 3 and having blacks in both the House and the Senate? How much impact is that going to have?
It would mean a number of things. Deprived, oppressed people are so deprived and so oppressed, as I see it, because of lack of information. It's very difficult to keep for people to remain in an undesirable status in life if they have information. So we say as twice as much, three times as much information available to the we so-called deprived communities, the black communities, as opposed to the last 4 years, which really we are multiplying the number of persons here this, the upcoming term, by 4 or 5. What I'm really saying is that there would be more blacks disseminating information back to their constituents and to the black community, which heretofore was just 3 of us. Now, so far as effectiveness, being effective, numbers would not necessarily be significant unless we are able to win the support and influence of other members of the legislature. No 15, 13, 11 members in the House and 2 in the Senate, 13 in the House and 2 in the Senate, can pass a bill. But that number will become significant when it's coupled with the other liberal thinking members and the members, other members that are basically concerned with the problems that affect the black community. And on the other hand, I see that we will be sought after to use our vote and our influence to pass legislation, period. And I don't see much, if any, truly black or truly white legislation being passed, simply because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I mean, certainly I would encourage members to vote against capital punishment, knowing full well capital punishment is really aimed at blacks, as it has been consistently aimed at blacks throughout this country, not only here in the South. Black and poor have been the persons that have been executed in this country. The non-informed, the ill-educated, the black and the poor, regardless of who they were. So how effective we will be will depend upon, first of all, what we propose. But I can see no truly black legislation being proposed, or any truly white legislation being proposed.
Will there be a black caucus organized?
I do not see at this point a black caucus per se. Naturally, we will talk from time to time. Naturally, we will try to decide if this is the best for the total community, or we will readily identify obnoxious legislation in which we would automatically vote a certain pattern. And along with us, as before, will be a number of whites voting along the same lines in which we. For example, the bringing back to a restoring of capital punishment in Alabama. Well, I talked against it till I got blue in the face. There were white members that talked against it, so they got blue in the face. But the bill passed the House but died in the Senate. It met stronger opposition from a larger number of senators than it did from House members. Consequently, it passed the House and didn't pass the Senate. So that's obvious that whites will be voting the way blacks will be voting, because it's a measure of statewide consequence, and they have determined that they don't want to look back, so to speak. Now, as it relates to appropriations to private schools, the so-called private schools, blacks and whites will be voting because there are white private schools that want state funds and there are black private schools that want state funds. So you'll have a natural togetherness there for a purpose.
You're speaking of colleges in this case.
Yes, institutions of higher learning we refer to.
You anticipate with more than half of the legislature being new and coming from single-member districts, you're going to have a change in the kind of person that's there? In the kind of person that's going to be in the legislature.
Oh, very definitely. So,
they're going to affect the program that's passed by them?
Yes, simply because most members, whether they are coming for the first time or whether they are returning, will have had the blessings of the blacks in the district from which they came, although it may have been 10% or 30% of the vote. I think in only three or four instances where blacks endorsed white candidates, they lost. So you will have blacks, members from representing labor, the traditional liberal whites, the foreign element of persons in the legislature, and those that are there are either returning because of the efforts of the black community, they will be more prone to vote together, as opposed to the last session of the legislature. Very few members were there because of the black vote.
Is this a reflection of the effectiveness of the Alabama Democratic Conference?
By all means, no. The Alabama Democratic Conference does not have a monopoly on efforts to get blacks and liberals elected to the Alabama legislature. The NAACP, which is the most highly organized organization in the state and in the nation, we are in each county in Alabama organized. We have a political action committee of each unit. SCLC has played a very visible role in getting blacks registered and elected to public office. Other minor civil rights oriented organizations have played a role. And I see giving credit to no particular group or no particular individual. The Alabama Democratic Conference is unheard of in some counties and is outlawed in others. It's frowned upon in a number of counties. I think it has placed itself in a role that they would wish to be recognized rather than the wishes and the mandates by the mandates of the people. But it has played roles in which we all appreciate in the effort.
Well, how significant are their endorsements?
Heretofore, I guess the proof of the thing is in the eating. I think an analysis of their efforts will prove that for the first time they've caused a person running for statewide office to be elected, or that they have endorsed a person running for statewide office and that person was elected. And I refer to Jerry Beasley. And Jerry Beasley could have won, I suspect, without the endorsement of the Alabama Democratic Conference, simply because blacks were prone to support Jerry Beasley anyway. And he did not have the full endorsement of the Alabama Democratic Conference. It is my understanding that Mr. Joel Reed and Mr. Alan Holmes wanted the record to reflect that they did not endorse Jerry Beasley. But they were overruled in their recommendation, as I understand it, of Mr. Wood, so they were overruled, and the majority of the members in attendance supported Mr. Beasley.
Has the association that you had done anything to help elect other officials?
NAACP?
No, the Association for Elected and Appointed
Black Elected Officials. Very definitely, we have played roles there. We have provided technical assistance. We have given directions of sources of funds, contributions, sources of volunteer help, sources of we've been a source of technical information as well, so far as qualification dates and laws governing elections, the election process, and the finer points of how we thought an election to be won.
How many members in that association now?
Black elected appointed officials, as you know, it fluctuates from time to time. The last count was 172.
What's the most number that's ever attended a meeting together?
The last meeting, public meeting, was over 100.
Because of the growing number of black elected officials in the state, do you see that organization playing an increased role?
Yes, after the dust is settled, when we can convince black elected officials that the purpose of the Black Elected Officials Association of Alabama is not to support the idea of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or the NDPA Party, or to frown on a man from being elected because he ran on an independent ticket. And when the rival factions, those that are vying for leadership, come to the realization that about some things we must all be together on, I see us playing a more effective role.
When do you see that coming about?
In the immediate future. Simply because those who have been, we say, the agitators of distrust, and those who have aided and abetted dissension have somewhat fallen by the wayside. They have not been re-elected to public office, and they just won't be around to aid and abet dissension. For example, Gary Cooper, Jay Cooper, rather, the mayor of Pritchett, has offered a number of times to say, Tom, now, you had the black elected officials, well, I had the black mayors. Let's come together, you know, jointly. Let's meet, you know, as a total unit, although we might go our separate ways at the beginning, we'll all end up together. What is your idea on supporting the idea of this, that, or the other? And those are the bright signs that I see.
Do you see any similar sort of coalition or joint meetings with a separate organization, say, with the Alabama Democratic Conference?
There is a meeting being put together that will involve the leadership of all major and minor civil rights organizations, political organizations, organizations that are neither the two religious and what have you. There's a meeting being put together now with the idea of bringing all segments of leadership together for the purpose of becoming more acquainted and discussing the problems as they see it, see them that confront the minorities throughout the state of Alabama, and for coming together and jointly deciding that this is what should be and this is the better thing for us at this time.
What's the difference between those black leaders who hold public office and those who do not? It appears to us that there's, you know, there's a division of opinion here. How does that develop?
Yes, that is somewhat a division of opinion, of separate opinions about how the problems can be solved and how you should deal with them. But that, I think we are coming closer together, and that all of us begin to discover that although he is not an elected official, a public elected official, that he has and still is playing a very definite role in the total process for justice and equality. SCLC, an official in SCLC, is not a public elected official, but it's obvious that he is the leader of a identifiable group of people that said that this is the man or the woman that we wish to lead us for the next year, 2 years, or 4 years. And to me, he is equally as important in the total effort.
Is it really not a difference over goals, but over strategy and tactics and getting those goals?
The difference is really so minor until you cannot say that either would be the case. It's I think the difference may be magnified by the lack of a real effort to pull all of these groups under one umbrella. For example, although the first official public hearing on abuse or treatment of inmates was held at the state capitol in Montgomery and sponsored by the NAACP, there was broad representation from all spectrums throughout the state represented there and participated without conflict.
Yes, but there is no statewide organization into which everybody fits.
No. I don't think you find that in too many places.
No, and there is no one man, apparently, that can pull it all together.
Oh, well, I disagree there. I think we would respond to invitations from any person that would want to put that sort of a thing together, some sort of a ad hoc committee coming from those various kind of groups of people. Well, that was evidence at the prison hearing, the first public hearing that was held. they responded, although it was called by the NAACP. I don't know of any organization that would say, no, we don't want to be bothered because it is the NAACP, that it is SCLC. I don't know of that much bitterness or dissension. It may be, but I don't know of that.
Did in the past session, did the three black legislators ever meet with the governor, discuss problems affecting blacks?
No, not three of us.
You think 15 might next year?
Yes, if the opportunity affords itself.
Well, what would be required for that?
If the governor fails to, well, if we get a mandate from the court that the governor must appoint 25% black to all agencies that he has jurisdiction over, and if he fails to do it, I suspect during the monitoring as he is monitored, we will find it necessary to say, governor, as we see it, you're dragging your feet. We certainly would hope that it would not be necessary for us to come as a unit because we feel that you understand what is morally right or something to that effect. If legislation comes with reference to renewing the capital punishment in Alabama, I would suspect if it passes the Senate and if it is awaited his signature, I would suspect that we would all go in. But I would suspect that other members would want to join us.
Has he had individual meetings with black legislators?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
When was the first black elected?
4 years ago.
But it was not you. Was it you?
Yes, I was one of the two.
Of the two?
Yeah, there were two of us sworn in, elected, and sworn in. November is the final day to the month to determine elections in Alabama, which you possibly know. You have the primary, as we commonly refer to it. 30 days later, you have what we refer to as the runoff. And then November, you have what we call the general election. And persons are only nominated, and they are elected in November. And until that time, no one is assured, from the governor on down, that he is elected to public office until the votes are counted on the designated date in November.
When you first went to that legislature, did you have the experiences you thought you were going to have?
I was fairly well equipped because of my background. I taught social studies in high school. I've always tried to be a student of government. As a child, I worked in and out of the courthouses. And I tried to read everything that I could find to read, everything especially that was current. And I had no difficulty at adjusting myself. I had been a parliamentarian for several organizations, but you know the rules of the House are rules that are made by members themselves, and the procedures that govern the activity in the House of Representatives was set forth and changed from time to time. But basic courtesies, if you're equipped with that and basic parliamentary procedure, you have no difficulty.
Any of the bills you sponsored get passed?
About 80% of the bills that I sponsored.
Were they co-sponsored or were they just introduced by you?
Some were introduced by, I introduced some, and some were co-sponsored.
You see a wave of legislative reform coming next year because of all the new members of the single member districts. You don't see it coming? Why not?
Well, that's something that people talk more about than the legislators respond to. I don't see too much that we are doing wrong. I don't see where we need to reform ourselves too much. I've not been one that have said that we had a do-nothing legislature. The Alabama legislature was productive. The House was more productive because you measure productivity, I guess, at the end. But the House was, the Senate was denied of the opportunity to act on various pieces of legislation. They plan to change some of their rules, which would eliminate this possibility of one man tying up the entire Senate, and as long as he wishes. But the House rules were different in that they did not permit such conduct as was permitted in the Senate. So we passed a number of bills and sent them to the Senate that the Senate did not act on and didn't have the opportunity to act on because of the rules permitted the filibuster and what have you, and the objection by one man, which we had didn't have in the House. So consequently, we got bills over to them that they never had the opportunity to act on.
The reason I ask that is that most states, when they move to a single member district, the prediction is always that that's going to mean reform in terms of annual sessions, more staff, more salary, all that sort of thing. Change in procedure rules.
I don't see how we would hope to get more changes this time than we got the last time, because you only have one member less in the House and one member less in the Senate. And the opportunity for reform has always been by majority vote you change what you won't change. By majority vote you let stay what you want to stay. So I think the citizens are talking more about reform than members of the legislature talking about it. And that's where it's going to come from the floor of the legislature.
But you don't see it coming.
No, I don't see that. I see upgrading of the process. I don't see too much.
Beasley got elected with black support this time. And Baxley got elected with black support. So it comes down to the two of them, do you see blacks generally lining up behind either of the two candidates or likely to split?
First of all, I don't think blacks can say that they were responsible for Beasley's election, because if you make an analysis of the votes, you'll find that Woods received an appreciable number of black votes. And if you would take away the black votes that Beasley got, and add them to the ones that Woods received, it wouldn't be enough to turn it around. You see what I mean? So being realistic, I'm not one just to say that blacks were responsible for getting Bees elected puppet office. By the same token, blacks could have kept Wallace from being elected. If they were responsible for Bees being elected, they could have kept Wallace from being elected. And Wallace has consistently won the election without the black vote.
How do you explain Wallace's hold on the state?
The absence of personalities and individuals, but are able to say what the people want to hear. And to recognize where the power really is and does whatever it takes to influence that segment of the population that swings the vote. For example, it's no question about who the Farm Bureau would vote for if a liberal and a conservative were running for public office. There would be no question about who the dairy people were. The agricultural people, the industrial people would vote for, the people in organized labor, it'd be no question. On the other hand, it would be no question about who the White Citizens Council members would vote for, who the Ku Klux Klan would support. And without the support of those groups and other groups, you're just barking up a hollow log.
Yeah, but most politicians after 8 years in office, or 10 or 12 and so on, tend to go downhill. That's it.
But he's that
this
exception.
Guy, he's been dominating the state since 1962.
I suspect he would be there as long as he would like to stay, as long as the laws of the state of Alabama would permit him.
Well, at 78, unless he runs his wife or somebody else.
Well, yes, he's prohibited by statute from succeeding himself. But I suspect there'll be other areas in which he would come forward, like for the Senate, for example.
Did you support him this year?
No, I did not.
How do you feel about people like the mayor here supporting Wallace?
I think that that is a betrayal of the trust of everything that we have fought for down through the years. I think that it was a mistake on his part. I feel that the administration did not appreciate the gesture based on the various comments that I have gotten. I feel, again, that the Wallace administration would have been better off had he not taken the position that he took. First of all, you want to know, who is Johnny Ford? And who is he to say what Macon County and blacks throughout the state are going to do? He has a right to come forward with his point of view, but it fell on deaf ears. He wasn't able to deliver Macon County.
Did he say he was going to try to?
Yes.
Well, his argument is that, you know, that may help the city, it may help the county in terms of state appropriations.
He doesn't understand how state government works. Macon County, Tuskegee, any other subdivision of the state of Alabama has line items in the budget. There's nothing that I could do or he could do or even the governor himself to deny Tuskegee what Tuskegee rightfully deserves of the line item in the budget. Tuskegee, that's all set forth by law.
There are no discretionary funds that are, you know, not earmarked?
No, Not of any.
Is everything line item?
Not of any major consequence.
Revenue sharing funds?
That is more of a line item than you might think.
Yeah.
Even coming out of Washington, it says what that money can be spent for. It just so happened we gave the governor permission to spend it. Of which, in the final analysis, the governor of any state has the final authority on how monies are spent, but only by categories. And he's prohibited from doing what he would like to do with it. It's so just so many things that he can do with revenue sharing money himself after he gets it.
So you don't accept that argument then? That builds better relationships with the executive office, and therefore you get a better deal when it comes to it.
Well, let's see what it brought us thus far. What can he show to say that his point of view is fruitful?
Maybe it's still coming.
Well, justice too long delayed is justice denied.
How about with the federal government?
With the federal government? I think there are other people in the community with political clout. And I think that there again, Alabama is insignificant so far as a national election is concerned. Let's face it. At one time, the South was insignificant. You know that. A candidate didn't even spend time in the South. Then the wishes of the black people and those blacks that are in a bargaining position throughout this state and throughout this nation, it just so happened that those blacks who are tooting the horns of these people are not in that group that set the pace for the black community throughout this state and throughout the South and throughout the country.
So you think it was more than just a tactical error?
More than a tactical error?
If you viewed it as a tactic, as a way to have entree to the federal, through the White House, and the disbursement of funds through the various departments, and as a tactic to endorse Nixon, and also as a tactic to get better consideration from Montgomery through the governor's office. You don't think as a tactic it's going to work?
No. I do not.
Well, then he would have a very serious problem with the black community.
I think he has. When I say the black community, I mean the total black community throughout this state and throughout this nation. They do not buy the argument that he is put forth.
How about in this city?
What do you mean?
Well, do they buy the argument?
Do they buy the argument here? Can he get reelected, I guess?
Well, he hasn't had the opportunity for reelection. He's midway his first term.
But presumably, if there's opposition, that's going to be a major issue, at least in the black community.
Yes, it will be.
And I presume there'd be opposition.
I suspect it will.
I don't want to keep belaboring this, but it seems that there's a basic division on this one. Because some of the blacks we've talked to believe that in terms of strategy and tactics, it doesn't make a damn thing what you do, as long as there are results coming out of it. And if it means more federal money or more state money, which means more jobs and so on for blacks, then that's the way to go.
Well, maybe you haven't talked to enough blacks.
I'm sure we have, but we've talked to quite a few.
Yeah.
No,
we do find those two basic approaches. And the argument is, look, we all have the same goals. You know, we're not on the same issues. It's a way how we get there.
I think if a poll was taken, it would show that by far the majority of blacks do not buy his argument.
Including locally?
No, I mean locally. Well, I was saying I meant locally, but I would expand it statewide, region and nationwide. I know, there's no question about that. How many blacks have you heard come forward, and what blacks of any substance has come forward with that argument? Name them. Name them.
No, we're not defending it. I'm just trying to understand it, and that's why.
I think the National Association of Blacks and the Colored People has on its national board of directors what we consider the leadership of the black community and the liberal community, white community. I think SCLC has, for the most part, the same composition of leadership. Southern Regional Council, SNCC, CORE, you know. But how many people from CORE has come forward with that idea? Only one that I know anything about. None from the NAACP, none from SCLC, none from SNCC, none from Church Women United, none from the Negro Business League, none from the Urban League. You haven't had a handful of black folks to come forward with that argument, and I don't know one of any substance that has come forward with that argument.
And you would expect him to be repudiated at the polls next time.
Well, it's a long time between now and the time that he comes up for election. A lot of things can happen.
Well, if he produces the economic development, the jobs, and the
then
what happens?
Blacks are not saying that you provide jobs, we'll forget about the past. We'll forgive you of all your sins, transgressions. We're not saying that. We never will say that. You know that. Blacks, for the most part, that are equipped to do work are employed. And they may be underemployed, but they are basically employed. Those blacks that underemployed and unemployed, they must be upgraded by the real leadership of the black community and the people that they're going to rely on to upgrade themselves. Don't drink out that same difference that you're talking about. You cannot bring 500 jobs into Macon County and then a poll would be taken and that poll would reveal that blacks have changed their mind about Nixon. Nixon could set a mint machine up in Macon County. The rank and file blacks and the majority of blacks would still vote against Nixon come 76.
But how would they feel about Ford? He had helped to get that.
Well, when I said Nixon, I mean any person. Either is on his team or trying to call the shots for him, the feeling is the same. There's just no way to spit in a black man's face and call him everything but a child of God, then come up and give him a Cadillac and you forget about the past. It just doesn't work like that.
What's your attitude on, you know, this question that everybody asks, has George Wallace changed? Meaning, has he changed? One, has he changed because of the experience of being shot, being near death at one time, or has he merely adjusted to changing circumstances of increasing black voters and changing times and whites getting kind of tired of hearing the racial rhetoric?
You almost answered your own question. whites in Alabama have come, for the most part, a large number of whites have come to the realization that they have been misled and throughout the South and throughout this nation about black people. They have been denied the opportunity to associate with blacks. Consequently, they have been blocked out from information with reference to black people. And when they were permitted, first of all, to associate, physically associate with blacks, they have a chance to learn firsthand what has been said. Some has been true and some has not been true about black people. And on the other hand, blacks learn the same thing about whites. Wallace Nixon could call for the return of segregation and discrimination. They would be just as far away from it now as they would be 50 years from now. What I'm saying is Americans have decided, and we must realize that Americans didn't have to obey the mandates of the court, did they? This white waitress does not have to say, "Mr. Smith, would you like another cup of coffee? Oh, may I remove this? It's soiled. I'll bring you another napkin." That white woman did not, she does still does not have to say that to a black man. She could just quit her job, couldn't she? Right? She could just refuse to work there. But how many has refused to work because the manager said, "Now you're going to wait on everybody coming here, be he Jew or Gentile." You see? On the other hand, what whites has refused to send his child to the University of Alabama because blacks are going to the University of Alabama? You can't find any evidence of that. The private school population at the higher level has not increased significantly, but on the other hand, I think the trend is toward, it's a decrease in the enrollment.